Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q2 FY26 conference call of Sheshesai Technologies Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Pratik Jagtap from EY IR. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Yashasri. Welcome, everyone, and thanks for joining Sheshesai Technologies Limited's first earnings call for Q2 FY26. The results have been mailed to you along with the investor presentation, and it will also be available at the company website. In case anyone does not have the copy of the investor presentation, please do write to us, and we will be happy to share it with you. We have with us today Pragnat Lalwani, Chairman and Managing Director, Pawan Kumar, Chief Financial Officer. Pragnat will start the call with a brief company's overview and business update, and Pawan will take us through the financial performance for the quarter and half-year. Then we will open the floor for a Q&A session. Before we start, I would like to remind you that anything that is mentioned on this call that reflects any outlook for the future or which can be construed as a forward-looking statement must be viewed in conjunction with the risks and uncertainties that we face. These risks and uncertainties are included but not limited to what we have mentioned in the prospectus filed with SEBI and subsequent annual report that you can find on our website. Having said that, I will now hand over the call to Pragnat ji. Over to you.
Thanks, Pratik. Good evening, everyone. A warm welcome, and thank you for joining our first earnings call as a listed company. I would like to take this opportunity to thank our new shareholders for their trust and support. As this is our first earnings call, I will start with a brief introduction about our company along with a business update. For some of you, this will be your first interaction with us, and for the others who have met us pre-IPO, it will be a quick recap. Our CFO, Pawan Kumar, will take you all through the financial performance in more detail. Sheshesai was founded more than three decades ago and has evolved from a secure print and fulfillment company into a technology-led solutions provider powering mission-critical services for the BFSI ecosystem. Our business is organized across three core verticals: payment solutions, communication and fulfillment solutions, and IoT solutions. Each of these three verticals plays a critical role in serving India's expanding digital and financial ecosystem. Let me start with payment solutions. Payment solutions contributed about 50% to our top line in H1 FY26 and continues to be our largest vertical, serving leading institutions across the BFSI ecosystem with secure end-to-end payment solutions. We are among the top two payment card manufacturers in India, supplying a wide portfolio that includes payment cards, checkbooks, and merchant QR kits. Our offerings cover the complete lifecycle from card manufacturing, personalization, and fulfillment, including metal cards, eco-friendly variants, and wearable payment products. Aligning with customer ESG goals and new-age digital payment trends, all products are designed and manufactured within our certified, highly secure facilities and dispatched directly to customers' doorstep in a few cases through our integrated fulfillment network. Our clientele includes almost every major private and public sector bank, small finance banks, cooperative banks, payment banks, and leading fintechs. This breadth demonstrates the trust and scale we have built over time in India's financial ecosystem. In H1 FY26, the payment solutions contributed about 50% of total revenue as compared to 67.5% in H1 FY25. This moderation is largely a result of lower card issuance volumes by banks, primarily external program-driven and regulatory factors rather than any change in customer relationships or share of wallet. I would like to emphasize that we have not witnessed any customer churn, order cancellations, or renegotiations of terms. All our key client relationships remain intact, with ongoing engagements on both existing and new product initiatives. To give you a sense of the key drivers behind the moderation in H1 FY26, lower issuance of the PMJDY cards, which is the Pradhan Mantri Jan Dhan Yojana cards, by our PSU bank clients, which are linked to new account openings. Against an estimated 38 million new PMJDY accounts projected for FY26, only about 13.2 million were opened in the first half as per RBI data. There's also been a rise in inactive PMJDY accounts, around 26% of the total accounts in September 2025 versus 21% a year ago, and banks typically do not issue new or replacement cards for inactive accounts. On the private sector side, the RBI's financial stability report has highlighted growing stress in unsecured retail lending portfolios, leading to moderation in new card issuances and a sharper focus on quality rather than quantity. Additionally, we are now seeing lower renewals of cards issued during the COVID-19 period, which is FY21-22, which created a temporary dip in the base volumes in that financial year. Finally, the broader macroeconomic and geopolitical environment, including global conflicts, supply chain challenges, and tariff uncertainties, has moderated the pace of new customer acquisition by banks and delayed certain international expansion initiatives. Despite these transient factors, we are confident about the medium-term outlook. Historically, the second half of the year tends to be stronger for BFSI spends and card issuance, and we expect the same pattern to play out this year as well. More importantly, we are actively broadening the payment solutions portfolio to align with new growth drivers, including focusing on high-volume projects such as financial inclusion programs and mass transit card initiatives in partnership with system integrators. Expanding our portfolio of eco-friendly cards and metal cards and aligning with the ESG priorities of our banking clients. Exploring strategic international alliances to tap new markets and diversify revenue beyond domestic BFSI. We remain confident that these initiatives, combined with our strong customer base and integrated capabilities, will position us for a stronger performance in FY26 and beyond. Communication and fulfillment. It contributed 40% to our top line in H1 FY26. This vertical serves BFSI, government, and enterprise clients, providing end-to-end customer communication management, identity, and fulfillment services. This vertical has been an important growth driver in H1 26, supported by rising demand for personalized, compliant, and technology-enabled communication. Our offerings in this vertical include the design, production, and dispatch of customer communications such as insurance policy kits, portfolio statements, regulatory notices, marketing mailers, and transactional fulfillment documents. Identity and fulfillment services for large-scale projects like citizen ID cards, tax ID cards, and government-driven programs requiring secure issuance of credentials. Print management services, PMS, where we handle the end-to-end supply and the replenishment of essential printed materials to BFSI branches nationwide. This ensures standardization, cost efficiency, and assured availability of critical materials at every branch and customer touchpoint. A key differentiator in this vertical is our proprietary logistics management platform, EtaTrack, which seamlessly integrates our network of leading courier and logistics partners. It provides customers a centralized dashboard for real-time tracking, visibility and control over all dispatches and deliveries, a crucial capability in sectors where timeliness and data security are paramount. In recent quarters, this vertical has also seen increased contribution from government and public sector projects, particularly around identity and citizen services. We expect this momentum to continue, supported by ongoing digitization of citizen and regulatory communications. IoT solutions. Our third and most technology-driven vertical is IoT solutions, where we enable smart identification, tracking, and authentication using RFID and sensor-based solutions. This is our fastest-growing vertical and represents the future growth driver of our business. Through this business, we are helping customers digitize their physical assets and supply chain, providing visibility from manufacturing to logistics to the point of sale. Our IoT solutions include the manufacturing of RFID inlays, tags, and devices such as tunnels, gates, kiosks, and point of sale units. Custom antenna design and chip bonding capabilities at our state-of-the-art facilities in Bangalore. We import chips from leading manufacturers in US and Europe. A proprietary technology platform called Easy IoT, which connects and manages the end-to-end IoT ecosystem of our clients. We currently serve a wide range of industries, including retail, logistics, renewable energy, manufacturing, and exports. Our products help large format retailers manage inventory more efficiently, assist renewable energy companies in tracking solar panels and components, and enable exporters to ensure product authenticity and traceability. Our IoT business contributed about 10% top line in H1 FY26. We witnessed a strong growth of 31% to ₹654 million in H1 FY26 versus ₹500 million last year in the same period. The growth was driven by wallet share gains in renewable segment and new customer additions. We are also set to start SIM card supplies to telecom operators in FY26, which should further accelerate growth in this vertical. Beyond RFID, we are investing in adjacent and next generation IoT technologies, including Bluetooth Low Energy, which is BLE, sensor-based RFID, and special purpose tags. These innovations allow us to move further up the value chain by offering high margin customized solutions tailored to industry specific use cases such as asset tracking and industrial IoT, cold chain monitoring, authentication and anti-counterfeiting, and hybrid solutions combining RFID and BLE. We are already undertaking several POCs across these domains and are encouraged by the results. While RFID forms the foundation of today's adoption, we see a natural evolution towards more integrated, intelligent ecosystems powered by data, sensors, and automation. To strengthen our position, we have also made selective acquisitions in the IoT space. These have been strategically aligned to accelerate our innovation cycle and reduce time to market in high potential solution areas. The integration of these capabilities enhances our expertise in BLE and sensor-based technologies, creating clear synergy with our existing RFID roadmap. Our differentiation lies in offering end-to-end solutions from design and manufacturing of tags to deployment of infrastructure and platforms, all developed and made in India. This comprehensive capability not only enhances customer stickiness, but also aligns with the national vision of Make in India and Digital India. Further, we have developed several proprietary technology platforms, including Rubik, EtherTrack, IOMS, and Easy IoT that support card personalization, order management and fulfillment, and IoT tracking. These platforms clearly differentiate us from pure manufacturing players and contribute to a steady recurring revenue stream. Our deep integration with banks, fintechs, and enterprises, combined with strict adherence to global standards such as PCI, the NPCI guidelines, and IBA guidelines, underpins our trusted and recurring business model. So in short, I would say, across all three verticals, our competitive advantage is rooted in technology, trust, and customer intimacy. We do not compete on price. Instead, we compete on innovation, reliability, quality and service, consistently delivering high precision, secure and compliant solutions tailored to customer needs. Our integrated presence across secure printing, fulfillment and IoT uniquely position us at the intersection of physical and digital infrastructure, enabling us to support the next phase of India's digital transformation, whether in payments, citizen services, or smart manufacturing. We hold 2 granted patents and have 13 patent applications pending, which reflect our ongoing commitment to innovation and technology-led differentiation. As we move forward, our focus will remain on broadening our product portfolio in payments and identity solutions, scaling high-growth verticals like IoT, driving operational excellence through automation and platformization, and continuing to strengthen customer trust through quality and execution. Our fundamentals continue to remain strong. We expect H2 FY26 to be better, supported by seasonal pickup in BFSI volumes, steady momentum in communication and fulfillment, and continued traction in our IoT business. We are confident that our strong client relationships, accredited facilities, and proven track record will enable us to deliver sustainable value to all our stakeholders. With that, I will now request Pawan to take you through the financial and operational highlights for the quarter. Over to you, Pawan.
Thank you, Pragya sir. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining our Q2 FY26 earnings call. It is a pleasure to connect with you all here as we share our first results as a listed company. Let me start with a quick summary of our performance for the quarter and the half year gone by. Our total revenue for the quarter stood at 352 crores, up 13% QOQ. This growth was driven mainly by strong traction in both payment and IoT solutions. EBITDA for the quarter came in at 95 crores with an EBITDA margin of 26.9, an improvement 336 bips sequentially and 9 bips YOY. Our PAT margin is at 16.3% from 16.54% on YOY basis. In terms of revenue mix, across our core verticals, payment solutions continue to be the largest vertical, which contributed 51% of the revenue, followed by communication and fulfillment at 38% and IoT solutions at 11% in Q2 FY26. The top 10 customers contributed almost 63.5% of our revenues. And more than 98% of our revenues came from existing clients, demonstrating the depth of our client relationships and the stable base that we have built. For H1 FY26, our total revenue stood at 663 crores, down 12% YOY. EBITDA came in at 169 crores with an EBITDA margin of 25.3%, an improvement of 54 bips YOY. Our PAT stood at 94 crores, a fall of 10.5% YOY. We remain focused on maintaining healthy margins and ensuring consistent cash flow generation. As of 30th September 2025, we have a strong balance sheet with approximately 564 crores in cash, including the IPO proceeds, giving us the flexibility to invest in our growth priorities. Going ahead, we remain committed to executing our strategic roadmap, driving growth in IoT, ramping wallet share in core verticals, selective acquisitions, and exploring international opportunities. We believe our margin base and our client relationships provide a solid foundation to scale. Thank you once again for joining us. With this, I hand it back to the moderator to open the floor for the Q&A session.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take our first question from the line of Devesh Agarwal from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is on your payment business. In your opening comments, you did mention that in this 1H, the contribution from the payment business has reduced to 50% versus 67% last year. So I was keen to know the trends or the reasons that you share. Are these industry-wide reasons? The entire industry saw a decline this time, or it was more specific to us? And in that context, what would be the market share that we would have in this first half versus last first half in the total card issuance?
Yeah, Devesh, it's a good question. I would say the factors that we have given you, are affecting the industry as a whole, right? So it's not that it is something which is affected only CCI, okay? Probably this is an impact which is across the board for all the players. Maybe depending upon the customer relationships and the customer allocation of quantum, the impact could be having a slight delta across players. But by and large, I think it's an industry-wide impact. Now, probably for us to come to wallet share on a quarter-on-quarter basis, difficult to assess because we may not know the market, but I can at least say that from our relationship perspective, the quantum of allocation to us from a customer perspective and the customer relationship perspective, we have actually probably gained a few accounts in this period rather than lost any accounts. So I would say from a market share perspective, it's too short a period for us to have data because that data is not there, but I can say with reasonable confidence that we probably will be retaining our market share as of March 25, for sure.
Understood, sir. And so you said that second half is likely to be better than the first half. Is this basis the general trend that you see, what you alluded to, that BFSI sector generally is more heavier on the second half? Or there's also a basis your order book that you would have from your clients in terms of new issuance?
So it's a question which has got both the factors. So typically what we've seen is H2 has a bias to be slightly better when it comes to most of the BFSI offerings that are absorbed by the market. And also for us, our entire business model is around the business plan that customers share with us and their forecast that they share with us. And we're also having a couple of interesting projects which have got signed up but which have to play out because they're depending for certain contingencies on the field in terms of system integration, etc. So the kind of visibility that we have with our as-is business, which we expect it to be better in H2, plus also certain new businesses which are in the pipeline, okay, both these combined together, we were reasonably confident of having a better H2 compared to H1.
Sir, in 1H, we have seen a YOY decline in our payments business. You think we'll be reporting a growth in the second half on a YOY basis?
Probably, yes. I mean, on an overall basis, I think we should have a much better H2 compared to H1 on the overall number basis. Okay. Last year for us, the H2 was, on the payment side was slightly weaker. because we had some we had explained that in the earlier roadshows as well. So probably the H2 this year on a YOY basis, you know, we probably should be tad better than last year.
Right, sir. And sir, within this payment business, in your DRHP and even in your meet, you had spoken about metal card as an opportunity. Could you share some breakup within your payment business, how the PVC cards have done and how the metal card penetration has helped us? Any sense around that will be very helpful, sir.
So essentially, so on the metal card side, we are working on you know, three different layers. Okay, one obviously is the current customers who are engaged with us for metal cards, and you know, the ones that we are working with. Okay, there's another space where we are working on certain mass migration programs which are being discussed in the Indian market. You know, especially by the payment schemes. Okay, which you know, which RFPs are in place, and we are kind of engaging with them. And third is, we also have on the metal side got shortlisted by, you know, a couple of very large global players where we have got shortlisted, we have participated in the RFPs, etc. So I think maybe it will take some more time for it to play out, but I think from our strategy and our vision that metal has a good potential, I think it's playing out, at least in the sense that we are at a stage where you know, the customers are in the process of evaluating you know, the product, and they're also spanning out their strategy. So probably you know, as time unfolds, we should see some traction on that front.
And so the exports market, that is also what something we were targeting.
Yeah, so that's what the two of the RFPs that we're working on the metal projects are global RFPs basically. So apart from that, even from the PVC card side, there are some customers where our products have got qualified, and we are, you know, hoping to start the business with them soon on the PVC card side. We had one unfortunate situation that we had deeply engaged with one customer in Middle East, but you know, because of geopolitical equations post this skirmish that we had with the neighbor in April, May, we had to kind of take a step back in that relationship because it was not strategically aligned to our national interest. So we, you know, we worked almost a year on that project, but that did not see the light of day. That kind of was a little bit of you know, a step back for us. But otherwise, we are working on both the global RFPs on metal as well as the partners. So we are working with geographies in Africa where our cards have been approved.
Right, sir. And sir, in our IoT business, we are excited about the growth in the IoT business. And there could be two folds where the growth can come. One is through new customer additions, and other through your new products. You also talked about some new products that you are working on. So could you share that the growth that would be driven in the second half? Are we looking to add some more customers which can drive growth in the second half?
Yes, yes. So, you know, we're working on something. Probably at the opportune time we'll be able to share that with you. But there's some sizable projects which are, you know, pretty close to closing, and which will have a very sizable contribution for us in H2 as well as also in FY27. Yes. Apart from that, even the existing strengths that we have, for example, in renewables, we really gained huge amount of wallet share in the renewable space from maybe from 3 to 4 customers. Even now, you know, probably we should be having double-digit customers by the turn of the year, and also we've been able to gain a lot of adjacencies in the existing retail formats that we're working with the customers. Also, the BLE and the RFID combination has been working very well for us. So we've started a few projects there as well. So in IoT, I would say it's a combined mixed bag where we're working on adjacencies on the existing customers, increasing our depth in the verticals where we are already present, such as renewables and retail. And, you know, this one large opportunity which will play out maybe in the next couple of weeks. Yeah.
And sir, broadly, what will be the mix between retail and renewable within the tag business?
Probably, I think, see, globally also, if you see, retail, historically, retail has been a very dominant contributor to the revenue. So probably that trend for us also will remain the same.
Right, right. And sir, have we paid out the debt from the IPO money that we have raised?
Yeah. So we actually, it didn't reflect in our book because the IPO can be listed on 30th September itself. But I think around the second week of October, about 300 crores of debt was repaid completely, as per the IPO proceed plan.
Okay, so the benefit of that will be seen in the third quarter onwards in terms
yes.
of interest cost savings.
Yes, definitely.
Perfect. And just one clarification, when you said that for the payments, 2H is likely to be better than YOY, were you referring to the absolute card volumes or were you referring to the revenues?
I think both are interlinked, isn't it?
Okay. So, they're interlinked. Perfect, sir. Perfect. This answers all my questions. Thank you very much and all the very best, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, David.
Thank you. Take our next question from the line of Harsh Shah from HSBC Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Just a couple of questions from my side is, if you look at FY25 versus FY24, again, our revenue was flattish at that point of time also, but we had a very good margin lever, which led to almost 15-16% of net profit growth for the full year. This year seems to be a similar situation, let's say, on revenue part, but at the same time, incrementally, our margins are also very similar to what we reported last year. So for this year, you think we have confidence of delivering, let's say, a 15-20% net profit growth over FY25? And if yes, from where exactly is this conviction coming from?
Well, I would say, Harsh, that we expect the, H2 to be better than H1, okay? We probably not like to give any guidance for the full year in terms of the PAT margins here, but, all we can say is that, things are shaping up well for us and we should not be very far from what we have set out for ourselves at the start of the year.
Okay. And what happened in Q3 of FY25 last year? I think that was a really sluggish quarter for you guys. I'm just trying to minus your full year number with the nine months number that you reported for the FY25. Q3 seems to be reporting only 26 crore of PAT. What exactly happened in Q3 of last year?
I think as we had explained earlier that the previous year in Q3 we had one-time projects which came in, right? So the last Q3, if you look at a comparative basis on a YOY basis, the Q3 of last year was lower than the Q3 of the previous year. But the revenue in Q3 of last year was about 341 crores, right? So, and what the fact is?
Yeah, Q3 seems to be around 352 crores. Ballpark. But net profit is coming at only 26 crore. If I'm just deducting your full year reported numbers from the half year number that you reported this time and the Q4 number that you reported in your last quarter's result.
I think Harsh, hi, this is Pawan here. The PAT for the period is about 54 crores for Q3, which is about 15.8%.
Q3 of FY25, you are seeing 54 crore of PAT.
Correct.
So just help me in one thing, Pawan. In first half, you have done last year first half, H1 of FY25, you have done 106 crore of PAT. In the Q1 result, you have shared that you have done Q4 PAT of 63 crore. So 106 plus 63 is around 169 crore. And for the full year of FY25, you have done around 195 crore of profit.
No, first file numbers as we have filed were about 223 crores. So
okay.
The differential there is 54.
Understood. Okay. Okay. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Bhavya from Equity Master. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question was, you have shared out CapEx plan of 200 crores for FY27. So is this the only plan or do you have more CapEx?
So basically, the CapEx plan of 200 crores was spread across a period of 18 months. Okay. And if you see the CapEx plan that has been mentioned as part of the objects of the IPO has been expansion of the existing infrastructure and capacities of the company. So in this CapEx plan, we had only stated out the equipment that we had clarity at that point in time as we set out on the journey, right? But obviously, for housing these equipments and expanding the infrastructure, we will be probably enhancing also the immovable infrastructure that currently exists to house these equipments, right? So apart from the CapEx for this equipment, we will also have CapEx which will have to be done on our immovable properties as part of this plan.
Can you share any numbers?
So, how much have we done up till now?
So, while we may not be able to give the future expansion, in the first half of the year, we've added assets of about almost 42 crores. So that is before the IPO fund came in. So that goes as far as our natural expansion and growth requirements are concerned. So over the period of time, along with the IPO objects that we have stated, we'll keep adding equipments and factory land and building as per the requirements.
Okay, thank you. And the next question was on payment value side. So can you give us give the figure for that, like how much of total revenue is coming from a payment variable side?
Payment?
A payment variable.
Variables.
Payment variables? So, payment variables is one of the form factors on payment issued by the payment schemes. So, we've innovated and have been supplying to various issuers. The revenue around it may not be material enough, but it's definitely a innovative product which we see issuers wanting to issue as per the growing needs of different age groups.
Okay. That is from my side.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Devansh from Equentis. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hello.
Yes. Please go ahead.
Am I audible? Yeah.
Yes.
So, sir, just wanted to understand the cards that we issue on the payment side of the business. How much percentage of it is from the replacement demand, and how much is the new issuance?
Devansh, I request you to mute, please. There's some disturbance on your line.
So, essentially, how it works for us, Devansh, is that customers give us the data, okay, and the data decides that the card is being issued from a given date till an expiry date, right? So for us, the data comes in together, whether it's a new issuance card or a renewal card. So typically, we don't get the split from the customer as to how much of it is an add-on card or is it a replacement card or a renewal card or a fresh card issuance. So, and also for us, as per the guideline, the moment the card gets dispatched within 48 hours, we have to purge the data. Okay, so we keep no credential or details of the data processed by us. All that we keep is the card count for the invoicing perspective. So we have A, customer does not give us any visibility, and B, compliance perspective, we have no surrogate to us to analyze this and find out which is renewal and which is fresh. So it will be difficult for us to answer that question in black and white because we don't have visibility on that.
Okay, so you can you share the volume data for so quarter rise for FY20? So my sense is Q1, Q2, the volume should be lull on in FY20. So can I get the volume data? How much charge did we issue in Q1, Q2, Q3, and Q4?
So I think what we've done is we've actually shared our revenue for the payment solutions vertical. Okay, we also kind of shared in the DRHP as well the total card that we issued last year, which gives an idea of also our market share. But since we have constraints, well, then we had specific permissions from clients to share those numbers. Now since it's governed by certain regulation and we are covenanted by NDAs, so we are not in a position to share the card number data as such.
Okay, So FY20, you can't say the volume data for quarter, right?
FY20?
Yeah, 20, because I'm assuming the replacement demand comes in like 5 years. So just wanted a sense of that.
Okay. So, I mean, maybe we can share that with you offline. We can research that and share that with you. Yeah.
That was. But another question was, so our H2 of FY20, why was it weak exactly? Can you say something?
So essentially what had happened is that in FY23, we had essentially due to some program migration and also certain customers bulk recarding, we had close to about 1.8 crore card quantity, which is close to about 150 crores of revenue that had come in 23-24, which was a one-time revenue, which was actually stated also in our DRHP. Okay, so that volume was essentially a volume which was, if you see historically in FY21-22, we were close to about 1100 crores. In 22-23, we were about 1100 crores. 23-24, we were about 1550 crores. And 24-25, we were about 1462 crores. So if you see the growth between FY22-23-24, it was from 1100 to 1550, right? It was quite a steep growth. So this growth also had within it about 150 crores of that one-time, bulk migration revenue which came in. And factor for that in FY23-24, then in 24-25, we still had a positive growth on a YOY basis.
Got it. But just...
Devansh, I request you to join back with you, please, as we have other participants waiting for their turn.
Just one question, sir, if you can share some color. So if as FY20 was well for card in general as an industry, Q3, Q4 might be some of an improvement to one factor, even though maybe we can talk about the volume data later. Do you see, because of Q3, Q4 being better than Q1, Q2, you see H2 being better as for us in FY26, right?
Yeah, so basically that's what we said early on, that the two factors, one is obviously the factor that you mentioned, the second is the customer forecast and the plans that they've shared with us, and third, also we have certain other one-off projects that are, at a very good stage where we should probably seeing the revenue play out, especially in Q4. So with all these three, four factors put together, and also, the premium cards and the other cards, showing some traction. With these three, four factors together, we are expecting, H2 to be better than H1.
Great.
Thank you.
I'll join back. Thank you.
Take our next question from the line of Sunil Desai from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is that if we see your gross margin, that has seen a significant improvement to almost now 46%. So what has driven this improvement? So has there been any decline in prices or some better negotiations? What has been the reason for this?
Hi, Sanin. I'll take that. So, Sanin, the improvement in gross margins is attributable to a bunch of factors across all our verticals. Primarily, we have benefited from a favorable product mix across the verticals. Additionally, operational efficiencies have also kicked in this quarter with the volume growth. As you rightly said, on the procurement initiative, we were able to source from vendors with favorable payment terms, and also our import costs reduced. There's been improvement in paper prices as well. This quarter, we also used in-house manufacturing advantage on the inlays in our IoT vertical, which reduced dependency on external vendors and improved the contribution. Overall, I think these things have aided in improving our margins on the gross margin side on a quarter-on-quarter basis.
Okay, so when you say favorable product mix, as in, so can you elaborate more? I didn't get that point.
So typically, what happens is that in Q1 of every financial year, we have certain businesses that come in from the communication and fulfillment vertical, which have very, very large volumes in the first quarter. We also had some good volumes of metal cards that were coming out in this period. And also we had certain value-added stuff that we did in the IoT business. So what happens is that the renewable solar tank that we do, those come with inlays which are produced by us in-house, right? So typically that's what the meaning was, that if the product is such that it allows me to have, you know, better insourcing, it allows me, you know, a margin expansion there. Plus also in Q1, as I said, we had one project of the communication fulfillment vertical, which had a larger volume, which played out. So these two put together probably is what he meant by the product mix.
Oh, okay, got that. Okay, and the second question would be on the export business. So has any of the export business started yet, like in the payment revenue? Is there any mix from the payment business, export business in X1 till now? And secondly, if you can share, you know, which are the geographies, you know, which you are targeting? And when you say you would, you know, go into the export business, so would it just be that you would be sending cards from here, or you would actually have some office or some kind of a manufacturing unit set up over there and have a business set up like that? So how would that be?
So see, we have relationship where we've been exporting, you know, cards from neighboring countries like Nepal. You know, we've done some projects earlier with Sri Lanka as well. Okay, these are two countries we worked on. So this same continues in this financial year as well. We are working in with some partners in the African continent where our products have got approved, and we should be seeing some business coming in there. On our high-end products such as metal cards, as we stated earlier, there's one global RFP that we've been shortlisted with. You know, we're under the final stage of evaluation to see how that will play out. And there's another large global player with whom our samples are under qualification, you know, for them. So on the PVC, on the metal card side, we basically are of the firm opinion that we would like to have leveraging our Make in India manufacturing of high-end metal cards. You know, we are also working with some technology for wooden card manufacturing in India, but we would not probably want to set up our postal bureaus in those countries. That's the strategy. As of now, we feel it will be important for us to get our product right, the product pricing right, ensure that the market has a product acceptability, see how that market plays out, because, you know, in the current geopolitical situation, you know, with tariffs fluctuating one way or the other, you know, it's better for things to settle down and see where things are moving and then make your strategy, because at the end of the day, we see, especially in our IoT vertical and also in our payments vertical, we see there's good potential in the domestic markets itself, right? So we want to kind of ensure that we deepen our market penetration and our market share in the IoT vertical, because we probably could have a little bit of you know, advantage as an early mover, and you know, then we will see how the global response to our products comes in, and then maybe build up our strategy for future, whether we really want local presence in those markets.
Okay, sir, that's helpful. Yeah, thank you. That would be the from my side. Yeah.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Franklin Morris from Reliance General Insurance. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. So can you share the revenue for payments and the secure communication for Q2 FY25?
Hi, Franklin. This is Pawan here. So in Q2 FY25, you mean?
Yes, yes. The base quarter last year.
Yeah. So payment solution, 69%. Communication fulfillment was 24%. Respectively. Also, absolute numbers, payment solution was about 272 crores, communication fulfillment was about 94 crores. IoT was 7%, was about 27 crores.
Okay. In terms of realization, in terms of your, you know, of cards or your metal cards or your RFID tag, how has the realization moved? Maybe if you have to compare it on an H1 basis this year versus last year.
on the IoT side, we probably have seen definitely the new generation of chips that have come in. Okay, so we will probably see as it plays out, we'll probably see some optimization on the input cost. We have not seen it yet, but we'll have to see how it plays out with the customers in terms of you know, transferring that benefit. On the payment card side, we've seen the price change you know, remain more or less static as per the last year's levels.
And what about RFID?
RFID, as of now, we haven't had any you know, price impact overall.
Okay, okay. But can you share your segmental margin for the three divisions?
So we, you know, basically we have a blended EBITDA that we share because, you know, we have a lot of infrastructure, platforms, people, and resources which are commonly used. So, you know, we have our blended EBITDA only which comes out. So we actually don't have, you know, margins across verticals.
Okay. So in terms of inorganic acquisitions, which you mentioned you will do on a selective basis, any areas or segments that you are particularly targeting?
I think as of now we've been looking around, we keep evaluating within you know, verticals which makes, you know, strategic sense for us respect to the business vertical, but there's nothing you know, worthy of sharing at this point in time.
Okay, okay. And would you be able to share, you know, some longer term targets in terms of your vision, maybe a 3-year or 5-year vision, in terms, you know, how your mix is going to move, or do you have a revenue growth kind of target in mind, anything of that sort?
See, the interesting part of our business is that we have three verticals, and each of these three verticals has its own levers of growth. Each of them has a very critical role to play in the target markets that they address, and depending on the market need, you know, each of them shifts gears as per needs. So for that way, we feel you know, definitely the payment vertical will have a steady pattern. The fulfillment vertical will continue to do well. The IoT, which is today growing very well, is on a small base, and I think we continue the momentum of growth in IoT business. Probably, since you're asking a 3-5 question, we feel that will also become a dominant part of our entire, you know, revenue contribution. So, you know, definitely, IoT share to our contribution will expand as we go along.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Rohit M., an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Give me. I guess give me the. I'm not an individual investor. I'm calling from Tata AIG. Okay, thanks for the opportunity, sir. I want to know that why your tax rate is very erratic. In quarter one, it was 33%. In quarter two, again, it is 24%.
Yeah. So Rohitji, I will answer that. So in quarter one, there were a bunch of provisions that we had made at the end of the previous financial year, fiscal 25, and which are based on allowance based on payment. So, sir, as the quarters moved from first quarter to second quarter, as and when those expenses were paid, so those disallowance were reversed back, and that's why we find the effective tax rate to be, you know, fluctuating between 24 and a half in Q2 versus a 33 in Q1.
But give me forward, it will be at 25% correct?
That's the was the average rate that we had in our previous fiscal as well. So we've traditionally been in a 25-26% range over the last couple of years.
Okay. Can you give some like if I see from quarter one to quarter two, you have added close to give me 400 odd crores revenue in one quarter. So can you give some breakup, like how much was the new game business, how much was from the existing customers?
Yeah. So Rohitji, I mentioned that earlier when I was speaking. So our revenue from the existing business, existing customers was about 98%. of the total revenue.
Okay.
And I'll just come here with, just to add that, typically how it works in our IoT business is that though we are shortlisted by a brand, right, the brand nominates us to work with their subcon vendors. So technically for me, it's the same customer, but when they go into adjacencies, for example, when they go from apparel to shoes, shoes to cosmetics, cosmetics to accessories, we have new vendors who get onboarded into our portfolio to serve to that expanding adjacencies for those customers. So technically, there are new vendors who come into our platform, but from our measurement perspective, the way we measure performance is they come under the same umbrella of that one customer, right? So, you know, essentially, it is a customer who, you know, when we evaluate, at least from an internal perspective, it is a brand, but, you know, the adjacencies come in from those customers. So, as we expand adjacencies, there could be some common subcon vendors who also do multiple works for that brand, or there are new vendors who get onboarded. So, probably we've added vendors in the solar, in the renewable business, and we also added, you know, certain more categories for existing brands. So these are revenues which come in from, you know, from technically new customers, but from a measurement perspective, from an existing customer.
Yeah, but just want to have a feel, because see, out of 13.3% growth, there will be some volume growth from the existing customer and the new category which the customer would have, where they would have approved you as a vendor. Correct? So this is what my understanding says. And that additional growth, additional category which a customer, where a customer has been added, so that will be the new game revenue stream in the second half or the going game forward.
Correct.
Yeah. So I wanted that game break up only. Like out of 13.3 game percent, there will be some game portion where you would have had some volume growth and some new game business from the existing customer where game you were not there.
Maybe you have, you know, do a little deep diving and we can come back to you on that one. Yeah.
Okay, my third question is, when you say that game second half to be game better than the first half, can make it then logically the second half will have a better margin than the first half. So can I say that the quarter 2 by 26, the margin which is 26.9%, the rest of the two quarters the margin will be higher than the current quarter, or like if I'm wrong, can you correct?
Hi. While the revenue from the second half would increase, the margin profiles more or less would, we've estimated them to remain the same. There may definitely be further operational efficiencies that we may add. So the absolute numbers would increase, but right for now we estimate the margin numbers to be, you know, on the same percentage range.
Okay. As you have, as in the call you have highlighted that you are waiting for a big order win in quarter four or next year. So that will be a one-time in nature, or it will be a longer-term tenure contracts?
That project probably, we've been told, will run for about 3 quarters, okay, from Q4 of next year. So right now we've got visibility for about 2 quarters from them, okay, and if that plays out very well, then they themselves will probably get a phase two of that project. So for now, there is one project that we are working on in the IoT space, which will come in, which is going to be recurring in nature, which will play out probably a little bit in Q3, but majorly into Q4, and then continue the next financial year. That's a sizable one. And then we will, on the payment side, the project that we are working on, that one probably is a one-off project for now that we got visited from the customer.
Okay. Just two game suggestion from my side is, like, if you can give more game variables or more game data, segment-wise revenue and then number of card issuance this game quarter versus RFID. So it will give a sense, it will be very easy for us to have that trend and predict something.
I think the point is well taken. Yeah. So we'll probably, you know, as much as it is prudent for the business and for our compliance perspective, we will endeavor to give that much more data. But maybe somewhere we'll be constrained where we are crossing the line from a compliance perspective.
Yeah, but I guess, Kimmy, you can give me like number of card issuance in this Kimmy current quarter as compared to the previous quarter. I think this is all is whatever the data you have given in the RHP. So that is only Kimmy what we have been like. I am asking Kimmy. I'm not asking Kimmy beyond Kimmy RHP. It's like number of card issues, number of RFID you have issued, number of tags. So what will happen is this will help us to get, is this a volume growth or the segment is sluggish. That will help us a lot. That's it. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Devansh from Equentis. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, an extension to the question. So as you are guiding that Q3 will be a YY growth period rather than a degrowth in Q1 and Q2. So how much would be the delta? Like it would be single digit or double digit?
I was not able to hear you clearly, actually, Devansh.
Devansh, can you use your handset mode, please? There's a lot of disturbance as well. Devansh, you're on.
Audible now. Yeah, I'm audible now.
There's a lot of disturbance, Devansh.
Is this better?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. So basically my question is Q3, Q4 will be growth on a YOY basis and how much would be the delta? Will be a single digit or double digit?
Devansh, for us, as we explained, you know, the volume driving is determined by our customers. So, you know, once the data comes in from them and basis their business plan, we are able to say that. So, I would say net, I would take it as an H2 rather than a Q3, Q4, you know, not to be held to that. But, you know, we expect the H2 to be better than H1. Yeah.
But that would be on volume terms or realization basis?
Volume terms and realization terms both.
Volume and value terms both, right? Okay, and any guidance on growth guidance for the next year for FY27? Any revenue or margin guidance?
I think probably we'll come to that as we go along, yeah. But all we can say is that the way we are poised right now, we're expecting to see good growth. In probably in H2 as well and in FY27, yes.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
So I would like to thank all to attend this call and especially all the investors and shareholders who trusted that SSI. We are committed to ensure that we deliver as we promised or as the expectation from us is from the stakeholders, and we probably will endeavor ourselves to keep expectations in mind and also to keep our own targets in mind as we go along and ensure that we live up to those numbers. Yeah.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of SSI Technologies Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.